We're finishing the Tzemach Tzedek. We're not finishing. We barely touched the Tzemach Tzedek. Barely touched. Scratched the surface. But I said when we started doing this that we're going to be spending really just to get a taste of different derechs, of different drachim in the among the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, and we can go on forever and ever with the Tzemach Tzedek. It was just a sampling of some of his teachings regarding tefillah, which we've been talking about. And the last thing we're going to do, and we'll begin a little bit with a taste from Reb Tzadik tonight. Also, next week we're going to begin to talk about Reb Tzadik from Lublin, about the life of Reb Tzadik from Lublin, one of the deepest and most amazing of all the masters. So let's learn this last page on tefillah, which says Reish Pei Dalad. Now in this piece you could feel that the Tzemach Tzedek is mamash like exploding. Hehine al yidei hezboininus b'chol zeh. Eich shekol ha'olam is betelim lagamra yetz lo yizborach. In Chabad Chassidus depends primarily upon a person's concerted efforts to meditate. Meditation is a very big thing. And it's a mistake for people who think that meditation is like a non-Jewish Eastern religion thing is wrong. Meditation is ours. Whatever else the nations of the world have stolen from us, they have little bits and pieces of the truth. And in Chabad especially, meditation is very, very important. So the Rebbe is saying over here that after a person meditates deeply about how all of the worlds, all the olamas, all of the worlds, all that exists is completely bottled, is completely nullified. It's like nothing, mamish like nothing in the presence of Hashem. Ad shenikra midbar ushmama. All of reality is like a desolate, empty desert in light of Hashem's overwhelming presence. All of reality is like nothing. Hine mizeh yumshach et simon shetichla elav nefesh kol chai ledavka bo yizbarach shehu chayei hachayim baruchu. This will give birth, and he's going to explain how. This, when a person meditates upon the greatness of Hashem, when a person thinks about the greatness of Hashem, that person will eventually be drawn into a feeling of thirst, that the soul should thirst and long for the source of all life, for the chayei hachayim, for the life of all life. As it's written, Li'ahavos Hashem Elokecha ki hu chayecha. And it says in the pasuk that you should love Hashem your God because He is your life. He is the source of your life. Perish she'ein chayecha elohu. See, a person goes through life thinking that there are many, many other things that cause life. So we think about food, and we think about parnas, and we think about, you know, what the doctor says, and you know, what the blood pressure is, and all these different things. That's all part of what's called chayim. But you lose track of Hashem, who's chayei hachayim, who's the life of all lives. It's like a simple meditation. It's a simple meditation of a person that's brought down I saw once that there was a certain Jew that went to speak to the great tzaddik, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap was Rav Kook's greatest student. So somebody came to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and this person had picked up some flowers for Shabbos or something to take home. And in the meantime, he had an appointment with the tzaddik, and he came into Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, and he was holding these flowers that he was going to give to his wife. and he sits down, and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap all of a sudden has this dreamy look. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, "You see, look at that flower." So the man looks at the flower, he says, "You know, this flower was once in the ground." The man says, yeah. And he says, "And you know that when before the flower was in your hands, it was in the ground. And before it was a flower in the ground, it was just a stem. And before it was a stem, it was just a seed. It was a seed." And then he said that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe threw his head back and his eyes began to like to roll into his head. Because he said, "And before it was a seed," and then he just stopped. In other words, what's happening there, we don't do this. We just think, you know, we just look at flowers and things, you know, we don't do this. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, when he saw things in the world, everything in the world was like taking him back to the chayei hachayim. Because when he came back to the seed, and what was before the seed, so then like he went into this state of ecstasy. Because he was able in one moment to take off into that place of chayei hachayim, which we can't do. We're not, you know, to learn how to meditate, to think it, to follow everything back to its source. So the Tzemach Tzedek is saying that what draws a person to love Hashem, what awakens within a person the love of Hashem, this is in the way of Chabad, what awakens within the person the love of Hashem is meditating, is contemplating, is pondering upon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha, that Hashem is the source of your life. And to return to that memory of Him being the source of life. Perush she'en chayecha elohu. U'kidechsiv ru'u ato ki'ani anihu. Vein elokim imadi. That's what Hashem tells us. It says in the Navi, go, look, pay attention, think. I am Him. I am Him and there is nothing else. Now this pasuk where Hashem says, see, look, look and see that I am the only one. There is nothing else. That pasuk is said regarding the end of time, regarding the days of Mashiach. It says in the pasuk, see, think about this, that it's me, it's I, there's no one else. That is going to be revealed at the end of time. What? So he explains. The b'chinas re'iya chushis mamish. To be able to see. Mamish, to be able to see. To be able to physically, to be able with your eyes. Like the way that now we're able to see, the way that we're now able to see the wall and the shul, we're able to see the bima, we're able to see the Aron Kodesh, the way that we're able to see things physically now, when Mashiach will come, the pasuk says, re'u atoki ani hu ve'en elukim imadi. That when Mashiach will come, a person will be able to see mamish with the ri'iyah chushis in almost a physical way, the way that we can see now. It will be so clear. In other words, we'll be able to look at things the way that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalav looked at things, but even in a greater way, to be able to look at everything and to see back all the way to the source of life. That doesn't mean you'll see God. You can't see Hashem, but to be able that it should be so clear and tangible that all of physical life is merely a garment that conceals the Chayim Baruch Hu, the life of all lives, may He be blessed. That's something that we will see in the way that we see things physically now. We'll see that when Mashiach comes. And that's what it means when it says in the pasuk that he brings here on the sixth line, Kedachsiv v'nigla kreit Hashem v'ru'u kol basar yachtav. It says that Hashem, the glory of Hashem, will be revealed and all flesh will see. Uchsiv ki ayin b'ayin yiru. Ki ayin b'ayin yiru, that the eye, will see. We're able to see. And there are many, many psukim that say this. So Tzemach Tzedek says, but in Golas, now in Golas, we do not see these things. Things are not clear to us. Therefore, all that we are able to experience now is Tzimaon. Tzimaon means a thirst, a desire to see, a desire to know. To come to this Madrega. To come to such a madrega where a person will be able to mamish see this, the presence of God in all things. Kamesha Kosov, as it says in Tehillim, the whole Tehillim is filled with this. Kamesha Kosov, Tzoma Navshil Elokim Lekel Chai, that my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Mosai Ovo Ve'eroe Pnei Elokim. When will I finally be able to see the face of God? So David HaMelech's longing, Tzoma Navshil Elokim. And probably that feeling that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe had that day of Tzoma Nafshi Lelokim, Masai Ovo, Eroi, Pnei Elokim, we can't see that now. When Mashiach comes, so it says, V'ra'u Kol Basar, then it says, Ki Ayin B'Ayin Yiru B'Secha Zen Einenu, and all those psukim. But now, Golus is the time when a person can have a Tzima'on of Tzoma Lecha Nafshi, of Tzoma Nafshi Lekel Chai. V'Niksiv B'Holchei Midbar. Regarding those who walk in the desert, and all of Golus, Chazal compare the days before Mashiach to a desert. This world is compared to a desert. So regarding people who are in the desert, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, and the Baal Shem Tov was Mesakin, that these Pesukim should be said every Friday before Yom Kabbal Shabbos, before Mincha. Before Mincha, Friday, we say these Pesukim, in Haidu. And you'll see what the connection is between these psukim and Shabbos. Why do we say this before Shabbos? It says in the psukim there in Tehillim, Re'evim v'gam tzmeyim nafsham behem tis'atav. It's speaking about people who are wandering through a desert, that their souls, Re'evim v'gam tzmeyim nafsham behem tis'atav, that they're hungry and that they're thirsty and their souls are weary. V'yitz'aku el Hashem batzar lohem. And the Baal Shem Tov was Mesakin to say these psukim, this kapitel Tehillim, before Shabbos, because as you go through the week, the 6 days of the week, a person feels this way, hopefully, spiritually should feel this way. If you look at the whole capital there, it's talking about what a Jew goes through it in general in exile, and specifically during the exile of the 6 days of the week. Because Shabbos is a taste, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is like a person who's wandering through the desert, thirsting, and then suddenly, you know, you come to this oasis. That's what Shabbos is supposed to be like. You come to this wonderful place. That's Kumi Tzi'i Mitocha Hafecha. Right? That you lift yourself up out of the desert of the 6 days of the week. So that's what it says in the Pasuk, Ra'evim Gam Tzmeim Nashim Hem Tisata Ve'yitz'aku El Hashem Batzar Lohem. And they scream to Hashem Batzar Lohem from their narrow place. So what's happening here is that this world is compared to a desert. The purpose of this world, just like what happens in a desert, is to create a sense of thirst and longing. In a physical desert, the thirst and longing is for water. And in the spiritual desert that we're living in now, it's to create this need of Ayitzaku El Hashem. It gives the Jew the ability to daven. And we spoke about this a few times, that only when one senses that one is lacking something, I spoke about this Shabbos, when you feel an intense need, and when you feel that you're vulnerable and helpless, that gives birth to tefillah. Shem b'chinas atzimon ad shenavsho olav tis'atav noilad b'chinas atzayka b'leiv. That gives birth to what's called the screaming heart. The heart can scream only when it senses that it's in a desert and there's nobody to help you out. Al ha-hipuch ki tzar lo ma'od ha-golos. And what is it that you're feeling? What causes this sense of tzima'on in golos? What causes this sense of thirst in golos? That you feel that you're trapped. You feel that you're stuck. You're in a small place. You know, you can't get out. You're imprisoned. Anytime that a person feels any kind of smallness or pressure, anytime that you feel that you're stuck in something, that's a bechin of galus. And anytime you feel harchavas adas, you feel a sense of openness and a feeling of expansiveness, that's a sense of gul, of redemption. Ma'od ha-golus o'mayis ha-haguf ha-gashmi v'ha-hainu ki b'ksuma l'libo she'ein chiyus amitis l'chol ha-nevroim v'afilu lo'ilam esal yoinim ela atu hu ha-mechaye v'chulu. Now, what happens is as follows. You begin by thinking about how Hashem is the life of all life, and that all that you see around you is mamish. I mean, in Chabad, this is a very major concept. Everything you look at is like an illusion. It's like an illusion. I mean, the Baal Tanya and the Tzaddikim of Chabad came very, very close to a type of an annihilation of physical reality. That sometimes when you're learning the Svarma Kedoshim, you know, you start pinching yourself to make sure that you're not quite sure if you exist anymore. And the Tanya says over and over, Maisa, you don't, really. The physical appearance of things is not the essence, is not what really is the life of life. So when a person begins by contemplating that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life, and that all around us is a garment that conceals that light, so what happens is now the person sort of comes back to earth and opens his eyes, and he sees, you know, like he's sitting like at work, let's say, and he sees like the boss is standing there waiting, you know, what's this guy having these daydreams, waiting for you to get to finish your job, and you're supposed to meet with a couple of clients, and you got a million things going on in your life. So what happens then is that you begin to feel that you're stuck in a desert. You feel that you're stuck. That here's there's this part of you that no one knows that is in touch with the Chayei HaChayim. Look, if you're not a spiritual person, it's difficult to even imagine this. But if you're a person that tries once in a while to take a little trip without the help of psychedelic. I haven't heard that word in a long time. Yeah. So then you could be sensitive to what the Rebbe's talking about. So here you're having this great moment. When you're thinking about where the seed comes from inside the flower, and you're going to that place of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, and the place, you know, and then you open your eyes. What might happen is just all of a sudden you're awakened from this thought, from this sense, because you're hungry, you know, and as you look around, you sense once again the ma'asar haguf, the imprisonment of physical life. Not just because you don't like your job, you're unhappy with your, you know, with your apartment or something. That's not what it means. But bechlal, just you have such a longing to get out of all of this, to go beyond all of this, and then you look and you see, and at that moment you sense so much that you're in a desert. You feel so much that you're stuck in a desert. You realize how far you are from Hashem. When you open your eyes, you see how far you are. And your life is like the life that you're leading is not a life. It's just a life of the body. You're like a biological organism, but there's nothing else really going on. Now here is an interesting interpretation that Tzemach Tzedek has of this famous Chazal. Chazal say that why is it called Sinai? Why is the mountain called Sinai? So it makes a play on the word Sinai, and it changes the Samach with the Sin, which is done. And the Chazal say it's called Sinai because over there, when we received the Torah on Sinai, Sina descended into the world. Sina means hatred. And the simple meaning of that is, as you'll see it presented in the Svarim, is that from the moment the Jewish people received the Torah on Sinai, the non-Jewish world began to despise us. That was the cause of anti-Semitism is Matan Torah, not economics. Right? The fact that the Torah was given to the Jewish people on Sinai, that caused Sinah. The Tzemach Tzedek has a different way of reading this. You hear what the Tzemach Tzedek says? He says that from the moment that we received the Torah on Har Sinai, we began to despise the non-Jewish world. Sinna came into our hearts, not for Goyim. It doesn't mean that we began to hate, Goyim. That doesn't mean that. We began to hate the secular way of looking at life. Look how he says, look how he explains. V'zeu inyan midbar sinai sheyarda sinal umus olam ha'ovda kachav mozol zolov, v'hainu b'chines ha'midbar v'hatzimon shetzoma navshul kel chai. The same way that when a person has that moment of clarity, and during that moment of clarity, it could be, by a neila, it could be by shalashudis, and if you're able to meditate, you could feel that clarity for a moment when you're in touch with the chaya chayim, and then you snap out of it, and you come back down to earth, and you look around, and for that moment, you are filled with a sinna for reality, a hatred. Not that you, again, it's not that you hate this person, or you hate your life, but you are loathing that physical prison that is distorting that beautiful, true feeling that you had for that moment. So when the Torah was given on Har Sinai, when the Jewish people sort of snapped out of the experience of Har Sinai, so we looked around and we saw the world in a different way. And all of Klai Yisrael went, ugh. And we felt that we were in a desert. We were in a desert. But we felt that spiritually we were in a desert. After the experience of Har Sinai, you have this feeling a little itsy bit when you come after the Yom Teruim and after Sukkot is over. It's all right, everybody's always correcting Lo'aleinu. We shouldn't, but people correct about it's hard and with Yontiv and it's difficult and how we're going to manage and all these different things and taking, and then you have to, with the missing work and the cooking and preparing. But after Yom Teruim, everybody knows that after, it's that feeling that you get after the whole thing is finished. I don't know about you, but I know that you feel a terrible pit in your stomach. Because that since Elul, you had this different feeling about things. It was hard, but Slichus and the special Negunim, the special Nusach of Rosh Hashanah Kippur. You feel different. And then all of a sudden, you're in Mar Cheshvan. There's not one Yontiv in Cheshvan. It's like there's nothing. All of a sudden, it's Cheshvan. You feel that terrible desertness of, it feels like a desert. Because for that time of Elul and Tishrei, you felt like, you felt that you were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very intense way, and then suddenly it's lifted. And it's like that with all spiritual experiences. So the Jewish people were in Har Sinai, and after Har Sinai, or because of Sinai, Sinna came into our lives for things outside of godliness. And that gives birth to the thirst and to the scream. Tefillah, davening. That's what he says. Not only that, you begin to hate the evil inside of you. You begin to hate that. If you're that's something also. If a person of any of you have been privileged to be in the presence like of a great tzaddik, so when you go to like a great and awesome tzaddik, so very often people have told this to me, and you know, maybe you've experienced this on your own. You just have this feeling like you want to cry, and you have all kinds of this huge range of emotions, you know, that's going on inside, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, you begin to despise the ugliness inside of yourself and the ugliness of things that you see around you. And then when you leave the presence of the tzaddik, you feel like you're getting dirty. Because when you were with the tzaddik, it felt so amazing, it felt so wonderful. And then when you go outside, you feel dirty. And your heart begins to scream. The more that a person loves Hashem, the greater is the feeling of hatred and loathing that you have for things that are not holy. So the meaning when it says that that hatred came for the nations of the world, it doesn't mean that we hate the goyim. It means the physical desires that come from the animal soul of each person. These are called the nations of the world. So when the Torah was given in Har Sinai, or when any person experiences some spiritual revelation or some spiritual moment, that will naturally give birth to a sinna, to a hatred for the nations of the world, which means for that part of your life that is not holy, for your physical desires that are called the nations of the world. Kamei shekasafti b'mokom acher, v'al b'china zu yarda sinna machmas hamidbar v'hatzimon, u'b'zei yuvan shetiknu ha'tfilu b'zaman ha'golus davke. So now he's explaining when it comes to davening. So that Tzemach Tzedek says, now we understand why is it that the Seder of davening, which I've spoken about before, the Seder of davening was established during Golos, during exile. We didn't have a Seder of Tefillah at the time that the Beis HaMikdash existed. At the time that the temple was standing, we didn't have a Seder of Tefillah. We didn't have davening, Shachar, Mincha, Ma'ariv. The Rambam says, the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, and he speaks about the evolution of tefillah, how tefillah developed. We didn't have formal davening. There was no formal davening. In Tanakh, if something happened, if you were worried, if a miracle happened, or you were nervous, so you began to scream to Hashem. It was only during the time of Golos, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jewish people were forced to leave our place, that the tefillah actually began to thrive. Tefillah did not thrive when there was Nevuah. When there was prophecy, tefillah did not flourish. Davening was not able to survive in the presence of Nevuah. Why is that? So the Pashup Pshat is that when there was Nevuah in the world, there was still so much clarity. There was a certain sense of the end of time, of Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru, of actually seeing God's presence, either the Navi himself or being in touch with the Navi, in the presence of the Navi, that it was very, very hard to feel that you were stuck in some desert. And if you don't feel that you're stuck in a desert, you don't begin to scream and yell. So it was only after the Beis HaMikdash was taken from us. It's only after prophecy was taken from us, where we no longer were able to see. And we felt ourselves thrown into the ugliness of Golos, into the darkness and the separation, the detachment from holiness, that then tefillah began to work. Davening began to be awakened. Ki bizman shebeis HaMikdash hayakayim lahoysa shlito memsholo laharash mipklipas v'sitra'ach l'dabik v'odam kolkach. At the time that the Beis HaMikdash was existing, evil, the koiches of evil, let's call the nations of the world, those taivas, those desires of the nations of the world, could not fully attach themselves to the Jewish people. As long as the Beis HaMikdash, as long as the temple was existing. Because when the temple was existing, then Hashem, you know, the existence of the Beis HaMikdash, even though, of course, we're waiting for Mashiach to come, and we haven't yet experienced what it means, the end of time. But at least when the first Beis HaMikdash was here and the second Beis HaMikdash was here, there was a sense of the end of time. Because remember, the whole purpose of creation was to bring the Jewish people to that point where Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyos Liyizbarach Dira B'Sachtayinim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to dwell in this world will be fulfilled. And when there was a temple, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so that was partially fulfilled. That Hashem's presence was in the stones and the rocks of this world in the Beis HaMikdash. And a person could at least go away from the Beis HaMikdash and come from the world and come to the Beis HaMikdash to have that clarity. There was such a thing. There were Nevi'im. So it was a little bit of the end of time. So as long as that existed, the Jewish people were, in a certain way, were not invulnerable, but were less vulnerable to the taivas, to the desires of the umos ha'olam, of the nations of the world. Therefore, we didn't feel a loathing and a disgust of this stuff. Also, remember that you had a Beis HaMikdash, you had kapara. You know, you had real kapara, good old-fashioned kapara. I mean, all right, now we know that our davening is in place of kapara, which we'll talk about. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you went to the Beis HaMikdash, you brought a korban, you gave a good cry, and it was mamish, you know, it was... You saw it was in the Beis HaMikdash. So you had the ability to detach yourself from ugliness, to run away from it. But it's only after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that we feel like we're lost in this desert of impurity, and you can't find a way out. At that time of the Beis HaMikdash, the forces of evil were sort of rejected and pushed away by the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. Aval b'zman ha-golus, after the parenthesis, aval b'zman ha-golus, in the time of exile, eisa she-shola ta-odom ba-odom, it's a time of craziness, when the world of impurity seems to be in charge. Tzorech la-harfid ayet tefila davke berish pe-esh v'tzim ma'on v'tzaykes alev. How does one escape? How does one move away from the place of impurity? It's only with the power of tefillah. Tefillah is compared to a fire, and the same way that a fire, when the fire sterilizes and refines, similarly, only through tefillah can a person mamish awaken within oneself that rishpei esh and that thirst and that tzaikas halev, that scream of the heart. V'tiknu l'espaila b'chol yom. The Chachamim established that we should daven every day. Because Chazal said that every single day the Eitz Sahara, the evil inclination, thinks of new ways to destroy us. And you need strength and courage and tefillah. You have to scream and yell to overcome it. When it says in Shir Hashirim that the desert is beautiful. What kind of desert is beautiful? Midbarach Nava, the desert's not beautiful. Nava means beautiful. Huh? Oh, very good. That's what he's saying. Dahainu kisha'ole bebchines midbar v'tzima'on. Of course the desert is not beautiful. If you remain in the desert, you die. So what beautiful quality is there to the desert? Is there to the desert the quality that only the desert has this ability to awaken within you this terrible thirst and longing? And if it does, then it's taka beautiful. Nimsa, look in the parentheses. Nimsa shahaliyahu mebchinas hamidbar vitsiyahu yirida l'tzarech aliyah. That this is a yirida l'tzarech aliyah. In other words, going to the desert for the purpose, Hashem sent us into Golus that we should feel the thirst and the longing. We should feel this loathing for physical life. Davke mitzad harichuk be'eretziyah tigdal hatzimon. It's because in the place of distance, because of the distance, you feel the longing. Vinyan Simon Zenikra Midbar. And this thirst is called a desert, a midbar. Shehu Loshen Dibur, as Nochem said. The word midbar, we've spoken about this before here in the shul, that the word midbar, desert, comes from the word dibur, which means speaking. And it doesn't stop mean to speak, it means dibur hatfilo. It means davening. It means dibur hatfilo. So only when the Jewish people were taken away from the Beis HaMikdash and were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and we felt ourselves in the desert, only when we were in the midbar were we transformed into midabrim, that we begin to scream and search for Hashem. Because sometimes a person feels you feel very comfortable, and you know how it is when God forbid we're in trouble, we all become very good daveners, right? It's when things are going well, it's hard to daven. When things are not going so well, everybody's shrying and screaming. Davening goes very well when things, you know, on a difficult day or when you're in need of something, when God forbid someone you love is in danger or sick, then every person that goes to a midbar is lifted into a tremendous medaber. So when the Jewish people collectively experienced Golus, we all became medabrim. We became speakers to God. We began to scream to Hashem because we found ourselves alone in the desert. So it's only in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and Nevuah and prophecy that the Jewish people began to daven. In other words, that a formal time of tefillah was established. So now, of course, one of the questions that everybody has about davening, and I think it bothers many, many people, is why did they tell us when to daven? I mean, this all sounds very spontaneous.
And if you look in Tanakh, davening was a very spontaneous thing. So you would think, is it still going? Yeah, you would think that they should leave it up to us. if you feel like you're in a desert, then you begin to scream. So why did they establish for us a Seder of davening every day, three times a day? You know that you have to daven the exact same words. Everybody has problems with this. That you said this yesterday, I said this the day before, right? So what's the point of that? So someone said, explains. No, the point is to create a sense of being in the desert. And look how he explains. It's a beautiful thing. So the Rebbe explains, right after the parentheses. V'hini al-derech zeh niskanu kol psukei dezimra. So look, before you come to the main part of davening, of course, is Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, right? Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, and the Shemoneh Esrei, that's the main part of davening. But we have, we're not talking about Mincha and Ma'ariv right now, let's talk about Shacharis. We have all those psukim that are leading up to it. So all of David HaMelech, all the kapitlach from David HaMelech, they were very, very carefully selected. Were put into the Seder HaTfilas by the Chachamim. And they have to be said every day. They have to be said. I mean, just let me just a little bit of a halachic footnote over here. There are people who are sometimes careless with this, with the Psukim Dezimra, because they know that if you come late to shul, you're allowed to, there's a method of catching up. And everybody's familiar with, which halukas to say this, and you say that, and then afterwards you get daven. The poskim say beferish, of course, it doesn't apply the women in a chayef to daven betzibra, to daven in the minyan. But as far as the men are concerned, so you must know, I'm sure you do, I'm just repeating something like Mesil Sharm says, that you have to repeat things that are known. Just sometimes you tend to forget things that are known. So let me just repeat something. That the catch-up method in Psukei Dezimra, that's only b'de'evit. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, you look in the Poskim, it's only if it happens once in a while that for some reason you couldn't come to davening on time. But those people, let's say, if a minyan starts at 7 o'clock, who will always come at 7:15, 7:10, 7:15, and miss Psukei Dezimra and say, well, you're allowed to catch up. I say, afterwards I could say Ashrei. So I don't want to use the words that the Poskim use for those people. They're not pleasant. They're not nice. You're not allowed to do that. It's only if it happens. It happens. A person can't. But you're not allowed to regularly come late for davening. This is a place I used to daven when I lived in Farakway. So, it had to finish every day. It started at 7. It's supposed to start at 7:30. It had to eat, so it probably knows I had a mission. It has to finish it by 8, this tefillah. So sometimes it didn't start at 7:30. Sometimes it started the minyan at 7:35, 7:40. Dependent. No one would go up to the omid. You understand? Until someone started to yell, then somebody would go up to the omid. So 7:35, 7:40. But by 8 o'clock, there were a few people there. And there was one person in particular that every day would come at 1:45. Now, when you're davening from 7:35 and it ends at 8, and that's including Chazar Zashat, and someone comes at 1:45, we're talking about being in tefillin for, this is it. It's nothing. The whole thing is, what are you saying? So, you can catch up. You just say, you're allowed to say the halukas. No, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. You have to come for Psukei Dezimra. And why is that? Okay, so that's the end of the footnote. Why is that? Because in order to really come to Kriya Shema, it wasn't like they said, let's put in some extra stuff so that everybody has to get up earlier. That's not why they did that. There's a reason why they're Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra, the word Zomer, that's the way the Kabbalah Sfarim darshan the word Zimra. Psukei Dezimra, the word Zomer, it means it's an agricultural term. If you learn Hilcha Shabbos, you know what Zomer means. It means to prune. It means to cut off so that everything else can grow properly. When you're pruning a tree, to be zomer the tree means that there are parts that are growing, and that because of that, the overall health of the tree is being endangered. You have to prune the tree in order that it should be vibrant and healthy, right? So the Chacham told us that these are the psukei de zimra. That if you say, Habocher b'shirei zimra, that if you say these psukim, if you say these verses of David HaMelech, then what will happen is, you will be able to cut yourself away to prune the umos ha'olam way of life, that way of the taivas of this world, the desires of this world. How is that possible? What happens when you see in Psukei Dezimra? So the Rebbe says, after the parentheses around 10 lines up from the bottom, v'hinei ha'derech zeh niskanu kol Psukei Dezimra kedei lo'eir la'hagdil b'chinas ha'tzimon bekerev ish v'leiv amok. That the purpose of Psukei Dezimra is to awaken within oneself a thirst, bekerev ish, from the depths of the person, velev amok, and from the depths of the heart. How? Besumo lelibo. When he thinks, obviously this is not going to work if you just rattle him off. But if you're thinking,
If you look, what's the whole Pesuk in the Zimra? The whole Pesuk in the Zimra is telling you one basic thing, that the entire universe is absolutely overwhelmed by God's presence. Look at all the Kapitlach. Shmei Shemayim, Me'al Shemayim. The whole universe is, the world, and first you describe the world, how beautiful the world is. Look how David HaMelech describes the world. And then you could feel like David HaMelech, just like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, that David HaMelech is just telling you how, look at the world, look at the mountains, look at the rivers, he's describing the world. Look at the Zimmer, right? The world is so beautiful. And then you feel like David HaMelech all of a sudden leaning back and putting his head back and his eyes start to roll. Just like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, except magnified a billion times, David HaMelech, right? And what happens then with David HaMelech? David HaMelech says, look at this whole universe. It's so amazing. And Hashem, you are the Chaya, Chayim Baruch Hu. You are the life of all life, Baruch Hu. So you think, after going through all these things of the world, you stop and you think that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Mamish, the whole world is nothing, is absolutely nothing. And you look around and you see the physical world and you realize that it's Mamish a Midbar Shmama. B'chinas Shmolo Bilvad. V'gam b'chinas Shmohu Nizga b'chinas Levado. D'leis Machshov V'tfisa Be'klal. These are Chassidic Rosh HaTevis. D'leis Machshov V'tfisa Be'klal. Rak Hoidoi V'zivo Shesh Shmol Eretz V'Shamayim. And not only that, even all that you see in this world, it's only a ziv. What does it mean? It's a ziv, a ray. It's just a mamish, like a little bit of a ray of Hashem's presence. It's mam. This is nothing. This is nothing. A Grand Canyon, Chagres Hispilos. It's nothing. This is a ziv mikvoidius baruch. It's a little bit of a ray of the presence of Hashem. And then you come to the brachas of Yotzer Ovar Yechoshech. In other words, when you come to the brachas before Shema, Yotzer Ovar Yechoshech, and now you're moving to a higher level. Until now, I was talking about the physical world, Shema, Shema, I was talking about, the earth and the sky and all this neat stuff in the world. But then when you get to the brachas before Kriya Shema, what do you begin to talk about? The Malachim. Now you begin to talk about angels. You begin to talk about the Malachim, the angels. In other words, the angels, the malachim, we don't see this, but we believe it, that the malachim are terrified. The malachim are standing there, kodesh, 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 Hashem tzivakos, that the malachim are saying, that all the malachim, in the highest level of malachim, amisnasim, lumasof, lumasim, mishabchim, v'oimrim, that all the malachim are mamish, standing there in awe, that they have no way to grasp Hashem's greatness, even the Malachim can't. That even the angels that are completely spiritual, even the angels can't fathom the greatness of Hashem. All of davening until Shema is to get that hunger and that thirst going. Because when you think about all of these things, and then for a moment you think about having to catch the Long Island Railroad at 7:23 or something, and then you're going to go to Manhattan with all the hilarious on the train or wherever you have to go. And if you think about this for a moment, and even if you don't have to go with the hilarious, if you think about it for a moment, just eating. When the Rabbi Uri Strelitzky used to go to Davin in the morning, he used to kiss his wife and children goodbye like he'd never see them again. Aki Dekach was his experience of Davin that he was fearful. And they say that they used to have to shake him back. They used to hold the chassidim, used to have to pull him, mamish, to live. That when he would go to Davin on a regular morning, not talking about Yom Kippur. We're afraid we're not going to make it through the Tanis. He was afraid he's not going to make it through Davin. He used to say goodbye to his family. He wasn't sure he would see them again. That's how much he was shaken up by the experience of tefillin, not to be able to come back into the world, to be able to return to the physical world. So all of Pesukei Dezimra is to create that machshava, that hisboinenus, that meditation of all the oilam is being bottled, being nullified in God's presence, and then you look around and you see your life, and you see also the things that you've done wrong in your life. And Miru'usa the Libra awakens with you a certain bitterness in the heart and a feeling of vald, what's going on? And to come to a Kriya Shema like that. That creates the thirst that you're in a desert. Then you begin to hate. You begin to have a sin for the way of the world. You begin to hate all the things of the world. Again, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to... Obviously, the students of the Baal Shem Tov don't say... That's not their way, but chalal to say to hate food and to hate life. They're not talking about hating. But you feel your distance from Hashem. Ad berchas ahavas oilam ahavtonu. Then look what happens. After you talk about the malachim, the angels, if you talk about the malachim, that they're mamish betelim, they're nullified, they're completely nullified in God's presence, and you've reached this point of clarity, and you have this tzakas aleiv, this scream of the heart, so then you come to the bracha right before Shema, Ahavas oilam ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu chem gedola v'chserich hamalto oleinu. Now you're not talking anymore about the world, not about angels, not about rivers, not about trees. Ahavas oilam ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu. With the eternal love, Hashem, you loved us. And you begin to speak about the Torah. Now you turn your eyes towards Har Sinai. You come back to Sinai. You come back to Ruchnis. You come back to Hashem. After going through the Midbar, you stumble upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You find Hashem. Shebirchas ahavas oilam yamshocha milamala lamata laravas et simon v'nikra b'chinas oil moed. The bracha before Shema, the bracha before creation of ahavas oilam, which by the way, the Baal Shem Tov said that the bracha of ahavas oilam, the reason that Golus is going so long is because people rush through that bracha of ahavas oilam, ahava rabba. The bracha before Shema, the Baal Shem Tov said you're supposed to say every word to stretch out and to say it with great feeling. That bracha, if you say it with feeling and you take a little bit extra time, so the Baal Shem Tov said that it quickens the coming of Mashiach. So that time of Ahavas Olam, that bracha before creation of Ahava Rabba, Ahavas Olam, that bracha is a hamshocha milamala lamata. Now Hashem begins to give you a little bit to take you out from the desert. Sukkot Dezimra, you come out from Sukkot Dezimra with a screaming and this yelling that you're in a desert. Give out what's going on with my life. So Ahavas Oilam, that Hashem says, no, but listen, I love you and I gave you the Torah. In other words, everybody asks, what does it have to do with Kriya Shema? Right? I mean, the post can talk about it also. What's Ahava Rabba doing with Shema? No, the whole Ahava Rabba, what is it? Ahavas Oilam, Avtonu Hashem, Akenu Chem, Akdari, Sayyid Chem, Altu, Olayim, Avinu, Akenu, Bavu, Shim, Chal, Gorba, Bavu, Sayyid, Shabbat, Chubu, Chal, Batlam, Yitora, because of your great name and because of our ancestors who trusted you, you taught them the way of life. To fulfill the mitzvahs, b'leiv shalom. Teach us, avinu v'rachman v'rachim the olayim v'seim libeinu. Place in our hearts, being understanding, lahovin to understand, lishmor lumen lamed, lishmor v'lasu l'kaim is kol divrei samatar asecha b'yahava. V'ho'ere neinim v'sar asecha, Hashem, enlighten our eyes with your Torah. V'dabik libeinim v'sar asecha v'yachidu avinu l'hava l'yivish shemech l'ban leinu v'shal nikol nikosh l'olam v'ed. So all of the, and then you talk about Mashiach, kibbutz golius, Hashem bring us back from the four corners of the world. To bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem. What does that have to do with Kriya Shema? It doesn't talk at all about God's oneness. You would think that the final theme leading up to God's oneness would be His oneness. No, the final theme is the Tzema Tzedek is saying as follows: that going through the desert of Pesukei Dezimra and feeling that and becoming a medaber. Then you feel this unbelievable sense of anguish. You feel a sense of anguish. So what am I doing? What's my life all about? And then Hashem turns to me and He says, listen to me. Come here. It's good. Good. You're starting to talk. You're talking to me. I want to tell something to you. I have something to say to you. Ahavas oilam. You should know that I love you with an eternal love. I mean, we feel that. Ahavas oilam avtonu. Hashem, you love us with the deepest love. And that the study of Torah. And we ask over Hashem, please bring us back from the four corners of the world because we're sick and tired of being. We have a sinner for the Ummah Ha'olam for being spread out. It doesn't mean that you. It doesn't mean you know. It's you don't feel in Woodme. You don't feel that you're living at one of the corners of the world. You feel that you're living in the center of the world. But well, we're not supposed to, but sometimes you do. So it's not talking just where you live. It means this. It means life itself. Life itself. Yeah, it's not just that's a machlokas poskim. It's not just the Lubavitcher's paskin, the Tanya paskin that way. But it's not that. It's not just the because it has to do with being. It has to do with the halachas of a long bracha and it's being samach to the bracha after creation. It's a halachic issue. We'll talk more about. It's a halachic issue. There are others too that do that. Not just the Lubavitchers. There are others also that do that. That they say Habaruch Hashem will be Ahava quietly. That they say it together with the Chazanah Baruch Hashem and everybody says quietly Habaruch Hashem will be Ahava together. It's a. You have a similar issue at the end of at the Baruch of Gaal Yisrael, right? It's a machlokas poskim.
They don't, not to answer Amen, but to finish it together with the Chazan, because it's a shayla of a bracha of a bracha arucha. It's a whole, it's a shayla in halacha. Anyway, this is the reason why we have this. So what happened? Avos Olam before Kriyas Shema, the Tzemach Tzedek says that Hashem gives you a little bit to drink. He's saying, I'm thirsty. Help me. And the Baruch Shalom gives a Havas Olam Haftanu Hashem Lokeinu. How does he give a Jew to drink? You sit and you learn. That's why it's so important. It's such an important thing, if it's possible, after davening, for a person to sit for 2 minutes to look at a Mishnah, to look at a Pasuk, to look at for 2 minutes to look at, to learn something a little bit, if it's possible after davening, to connect Torah and Tefillah, to connect Torah and Tefillah. And here, I just want to go into Reb Tzadik, that it should be a bracha smucha lechavrita, that one bracha should be connected to the other. And Sikas at Tzadik. Sikas at Tzadik, which we're going to be learning a lot of Mitzvah over the summer. Here Reb Tzadik speaks at length about the difference, the different kind of thing that's happening inside of a person when you're davening, when you're learning, different feelings. He says when you're learning Torah, you davka have a sense of shleimus. What does it mean, shleimus? Completeness, wholeness. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek is saying when he's saying Ahavas Olam. You know, you feel a sense of shleimus, of greatness and a certain exaltedness, which you should when you're studying Torah. We spoke about that on Shabbos. You feel like compatible with Hashem. It's His Torah. You're studying His Torah. You feel a certain sense of exaltedness. And one's ability to study Torah depends upon this feeling of exaltedness. But when it comes to tefillah, it's just the opposite. The Reb Tzadik explains over and over here in the Reish Yud Aleph, Reish Yud Beis, Reish Yud Gimel, these oisiyas and the Tzikas at Tzadik. So Reb Tzadik says here over and over that tefillah davening is just the opposite. To the extent that you feel that you have nothing, you're a better davener. You see, our ancestors, for the most part, lived under difficult, much more difficult conditions than we do. Baruch Hashem. I don't mean Baruch Hashem that they lived, I mean Baruch Hashem that we live, we have more comfortable lives. Our ancestors, I once wrote a long article about this Indian, the problem that we have nowadays with davening. You see that nowadays you have a lot of people that they understand Tehillah more than our ancestors. Most of our grandmothers and great-grandmothers didn't understand the word of Hebrew. And many of the grandfathers and great-grandfathers who didn't have the opportunity to go to yeshiva also didn't understand what they were saying. But they could stand there and scream and cry. And here, you and I, like we went to yeshiva and we have, you know, we know the Radak and we know the Malbim and we review all these Mefarshim. V'leiv ayin. But you don't feel it. And part of that comes from a sense of having too much. When you have what you need, it's very hard to daven. You remember that the Rebbe Bunim's pshat, why is it the snake was cursed? That's the Rebbe Bunim asked, that's not a curse. The snake was given all the food that it wants because it's told it's going to eat the dust of the earth. It's a gewaldig good thing. The snake always has what he needs to eat. So the Rebbe Bunim said, that's not a bracha, that's the biggest curse. The biggest curse. Because Hashem despises the snake so much that he gives him to eat. He says, here, take what you want and get out. Get away from me. But those whom Hashem loves are lacking. And that lack gives birth to tefillah. You need, and therefore you don't forget the master of the world. So our ancestors lived lives that were so difficult and they were lacking so much that they were involved in a continuous dialogue with the Rebbe Shalom. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to manage? And it's difficult for us to sense that. It's difficult for us to sense that. I mean, you know, you say Baruch Hashem on the one hand, on the other hand, there's something that's terribly wrong. Now, you don't have to be impoverished to be a good davener. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, I'm sure, davened very well, and he was the richest man in Eretz Yisrael. No, but you have to go through the Tzemach Tzedek's program. You can't just, you have to do something. You have to be in a desert. You have to be in a desert to daven. So either you're mamish in a desert, like our ancestors were often in deserts, or you have to place yourself through meditation into that mindset. But one way or the other, you have to be in a midbar in order to daven. So Reb Tzadik says over here, "Vizibivam is kol omer ein li ela Torah." Any Jew that says, "Hesnag bar yivam," any Jew that says, "I don't have to daven. All I have to do is learn. I just learn." Anybody that says that all I need is learning. I just stayg in learning. I'm just in yeshiva. I learn ein li ela Torah. Af Torah ein lo. The Gemara says, "Yivam is kuftes." Af Torah ein lo. The person who says, "I only need Torah and I don't need davening," that person doesn't know what Torah is about. A Jew who just sits and learns and doesn't work on davening forgets who gave the Torah. How is it possible that people could sit and learn and that they're not keeping the mitzvahs properly? Shezo inyan tefila. What's the inyan of tefila? Ha hakara shehu chaser umavakesh laHashem Yisbarach shiyim la'enu. Davening is the recognition that you are lacking, that you are empty, and you are asking Hashem to fill what you're missing. Va'yidei haTorah yachshuv shehu malei. The more you learn, the more you feel full. Now, a person who's feeling too full, what happens to that person is your heart becomes proud and haughty, and you forget Hashem. This is the Toldos Yaakov Yosef's critique of the Lamdonim who existed at that time, who were at the time of the Baal Shem Tov, when Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, which we learned together, was screaming and yelling about the Talmid Chacham. And the Misnagdim were burning the Toldos Yaakov Svarim because they understood that the Toldos Yaakov Yosef is saying that you're not supposed to learn. Chalila, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef is learning. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef was one of the Gedolei Hador in learning. But he said, but if it's not with Tefillah, then it causes, that very same Torah can cause haughtiness because you forget who gave the Torah. Because Torah by nature gives you this feeling of exaltedness and greatness. And if it doesn't work concomitantly with tefillah, tefillah is that constant reminder that you're chaser, that you don't have, that you're in a desert. And then you come to Havasailam Aftonu, Chemla Gadol Vesair Chamalto Alein. The Torah is a gift to you. Not that you're God's gift to the world, that you're a big lamdan. Why a big lamdan? V'oz afila Torah ain't lo. That's why if you don't daven, if you don't work on davening, afila Torah ain't lo, Reb Tzadik says. Hashem only gives the Torah to those Jews who feel that they're empty and beg Hashem for the truth. Only the Jews who are in the desert get the Torah that was given in the desert. And that's what the Gemara means. That's what the Gemara means when it says that the Torah was only given to Ochlei Haman. Only to the Jews who ate the man was the Torah given. What does that mean? So Tzadik explains. When we ate the man, you had to daven. You know what I mean? Every day you didn't know what was going to happen. That's what the Sfarim tell us. Every day, like it depended upon your davening. So could you imagine? It didn't depend upon your boss, didn't depend upon where you went to work. If we had to sit there every morning, and it had nothing to do with where you work, but you knew that unless you daven well, you're not going to eat that day. Oh, there'd be such davening, right? So, what? It'd be nice and slow, and it'd be good. So that's the emes, that's what it is. We just don't see it. So when it says in the Gemara that the Torah was given to those who eat the man, Reb Tzadik explains, the Torah was given to those who seek and beg and long for God's presence and long for His presence in both spellings every single day. Only to the Jew who knows that he has nothing without God does God give the Torah as a gift. Gives the Torah as a gift. The Torah is a gift. It's always a gift. Only when you feel that you're totally chaser, that you have nothing, Hashem gives you that gift. And that's why the Torah was given to people who were brought up eating the man, where they had their tongues hanging out waiting for the bread to fall from Shemayim. Now people have their tongues hanging away, waiting for the bread to fall from their boars. But really it's falling from Shemayim. Those are the Jews who receive the Torah. The ones who know, who are mevakshim, who feel that they're chaser, who have this koch of tefillah. The Kadosh Baruch should help us, that we should take it, we should be zoicha to sense something of what we're learning from the Tzemach Tzedek. And that shouldn't be just, God forbid, Torah. It should be Torah together with tefillah. We should be zoicha mitzvah for the gula shalom yom amitis, v'mehev yom amin.